Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, founder, owner, and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network, and this is Wounded No More for this Thursday, July 22nd, 2021. And now, here's your anointed host and facilitator, Prophetess Vanessa Carver. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and welcome everyone to Wounded No More. Once again, it's good to be with you, only because the things that God lays on my heart and the things that that I pray about to present is usually something that I've been wrestling with or studying or coming across the need to teach and to share. There will be days that I will share and there will be days that I will be teaching. This is an overview, a brief overview, not a really deep one about New Age. It's called New Age Exposure. When I first started thinking about this topic, I remember God giving me an analogy of cooking. And he showed me, he said, you know, when you cook and you start seasoning your food, you know, you put different types of spices in it. And, of course, salt is one of those, you know, elements that we put in our food to bring out the flavor, to give it flavor, or what have you. And he said, but one thing is about salt. If you put too much salt in any type of dish you cook, it's almost, it's inedible. You almost can't eat it. Or if you can't really eat it. And it's hard to put something else in it to balance out the saltiness. Now, in the Bible, Jesus uses salt as the body of Christ, as those in the body of Christ are saying we are the salt and the light. That's not what I'm talking about. Just stick to me with what I'm trying to say and what God is showing me about salt. And so he said it's really hard to save a dish that has too much salt in it. You almost have to throw it out. It's hard to save it. You can't really eat it. I mean, you can if you want to, but it's really hard to eat and to consume. He said, you almost have to throw it out, don't you? And I said, yeah. Unless you really are an excellent cook, when you put too much salt in something, it's not, you can't save it. So he said, that's what New Age is. And what I mean by that is it's in everything. It seems that there's a little bit here, a little bit there. And when it comes to our Christian theology and the things that we believe in according to the Word, sometimes you have to realize there's too much salt in some of these ideologies and things that we have, and they're incorrect, and they create just this plethora of error, and sometimes it's infused with New Age. So, and if we're not careful, and if we're not studying the Word and getting our foundation from the truth, we will fall into that, and or it'd be really interesting to see the differences and just start to study New Age. Now, I come from a background where if I was raised in church and certain things we just didn't study, or it was almost like if we studied anything other than the Bible or read anything other than the Bible, you know, it's going to contaminate us or something. But I think it's important to understand what is on the other side so we can reach people. And when it comes to New Age, we need to understand what it is and we need to understand what it is not. And whether you Google it and you just get a basics or you research it for months and God begins to show you, if you have a pure heart and you know who you are in Christ and everything else, you don't have to be afraid of it contaminating you. You just need to understand that there are many doctrines and many false belief systems and things out there. Where they come from all different types of religions and different cultures. So it can taint your worldview and your perspective, but if you have a Christian worldview, then you need to be aware of these things that are out there. And one scripture I think about is in Galatians 5:7-9, when Paul is writing to the Galatians, and I'll just read it to you. Because the first, you know, I thought of is 5:9, which is said a little leaven, and I'm reading from the Amplified, a slight inclination to error or a few false teachers leavens the whole lump. It perverts the whole conception of faith or misleads the whole church. And that's what this topic is about, New Age, too much salt. You know, it's in everything. And so the more that I started to study the New Age, the more I was like, you know, just the subtlety of it all, and it's sprinkled a little bit here, a little bit of there. But let's start with verse 7-9, and I'm going to read it in its entirety, this passage. And it says, you were running the race nobly. Who has interfered in and hindered and stopped you from heeding and following the truth? The truth is capitalized in this passage. This evil persuasion is not from him who called you, who invited you to freedom in Christ. A little leaven, inclination to error, or a few false teachers, which he was talking about the Judaizers because they were being legalists, and that's what the influence is, that Paul was talking about, it leavens the whole lump. So leaven is yeast, and I said it can be also considered as teachers, Judaizers, legalistic systems, taking them away from their freedom and identity in Christ. It perverts the whole conception of faith and misleads the whole church. So this is a topic I'm talking about that's about being misled. I want you to excuse me if it feels like I'm all over the place, but this is such a big topic that I didn't stop to think about how to give it a little bit at a time. First thing I'm going to talk about is metaphysics, because New Age comes from this metaphysics base. And metaphysics is the branch of philosophy that examines the fundamental nature of reality, including the relationship between mind and matter, between substance and attribute, and between potentiality and actuality. So there's a lot of great examples and definitions of metaphysics. It comes from Plato. Metaphysics is a two-tiered type of theory, a sensible world of becoming and a real world of being. So I'm not going to get all into that because many times you have to look at these things and just get a working knowledge of metaphysics so you can have a working knowledge of what New Age is. I mean, New Age is just an umbrella, if you will, of the different things. And I'm going to name a couple of things that New Age principles come from, are infused with, and from Buddhism to Hinduism, mysticism, transcendentalism, Gnosticism, paganism, pantheism, occultism, esotericism, witchcraft, mediation, yoga, psychedelics, channeling, divination, sorcery, mind science, reincarnation, astral projection, ufology, and spiritual psychology. It's the law of attraction and manifestation, you know, like they say, the secret. Okay. Coming up, the only thing that I used to hear talked about in church sometimes where people were saying be careful of is basically what? Sorcery, because this is in the Bible, and witchcraft, and I would hear divination, right? Out of that list of things I just talked about, the New Age is a collection of beliefs and practices. So it can be any of these things or all these things at once, depending on who you're talking about, depending on what is being explained. The goal, the practices is aimed at being enlightenment, like you can be enlightened. But you know what I think of? A lot of times when I think of New Ageism, I think of, and I always have, especially when I started to do deeper studies, is the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When I think about New Ageism or metaphysics and all those different religions and things that I mentioned, I think of having a knowledge of good and evil and not knowing what to do with it and using it for your own self-enlightenment, using it to be independent without God, period. And so it's to raise your consciousness to a higher density or higher vibration, meaning that the knowledge of self combined with divination and occult practices. So many of these topics and things that, like Buddhism and different types of religion and so on, it has to do with the occultism, the occult. Let's look up what that word means, the occult, just to give you some words. We talked about metaphysics and we talked about New Ageism is just an umbrella of many other things and infused with all these different types of belief. But we talk about this now is the occult as well. And it's the supernatural, mystical, or magical beliefs. And it's a practice of that. So I guess people would say witchcraft is one example of the occult. And so many times, anytime I think of New Age, I know that any type of occult practices are part of it, from meditation to divination, channeling, reincarnation, astral projection, and many of these things I am not going to even get into. But I'm just trying to give you an understanding. The name of the show is called Wounded No More. And sometimes our woundedness will lead us to some of these practices, especially if we have church hurt. And and it's so subtle sometimes because sometimes there's people in the body of Christ or in church who are practicing these things because some of them don't know better and some of them do. They're rebelling. And so we have to understand to try the Spirit by the Spirit to see if it be of God. And we really need to understand if we just do a study of the occult in the Bible, I mean, that gives us a good foundation of what it is. And even to this day, there have been many practices and things that have been taken out of context in the Bible, and people have used that to validate practicing in the occult. They have a way. So you got to know the word, and you have to approach the word with a pure heart. And so, like I said, some people that are dealing with woundedness, unforgiveness, or dealing with rejection are prime candidates to be drawn into New Ageism because it gives them a sense of controlling their lives. It gives them a sense of self outside of people. That's part of the deception. It says the goal at a global level is to initiate world peace by uniting religions of the world under, now that doesn't sound bad, does it? It's about unity, and it's to unite our religions and impersonal universal God, and there's one God restoring, and there's more than one way to get to God. And you know what, believe it or not, I was even entertaining believing that, but I didn't understand because I felt like anything that had to do with peace or unity, not really understanding where the origin of that coming from, that was a good thing. And so it would get my attention. But that is the lure right there, talking about universal and unity or unitarian, restoring the forgotten wisdom traditions of ancient cultures and incorporating them into civilization. It's like having an age of enlightenment in a mindset. Now, one of these things that got my attention was spiritual psychology and the science movement, mind science. Now, listen, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There are some things that when I started reading this, I was just questioning everything. I was like, oh, my God, I got this book about this. I got this book about that. I didn't realize that was the undercurrent. You have to eat fish and spit the bones out. You have to be able to discern the spirit behind it. And that's the main thing. And if you can't do that, a lot of times you just need to read the scripture and till you understand it. I mean, God has called us to be thinkers, not just to accept everything that comes along. But even when we read the word of God, we should understand what we read. And so we have to sometimes study the word to understand it. And sometimes even in the original language, it helps bring it out. One of the things that got my attention about this is, you know, if we have a desire to, we are the world, and that was me, we want to be united, and there's so much division in the world, and this type of following a religion is very attractive to people like that, people that are considered, because Buddhism is one of the practices. I'm not going to comment about Buddhism. I'm not going to comment about Hinduism or any of these things tonight, because I think that you should be you personally. If you want to study those things for your own, you can. That doesn't mean I didn't study them, but I'm not going to cover them tonight. I just want everybody to understand that there are things out in this world. Just lures, that's the best way, snares. And New Ageism, I believe, in some kind of shape, form, or fashion, can be infused in many things. And it's popular. And a lot of times, you know, we take liberties where we shouldn't take liberties. We should study, and we should understand, of course, should be the foundation. But if God is dealing with you about New Ageism, or what it is, what it's not, and how it has infused itself in some ways in our practices. I mean, there's a subconscious belief a lot of times in a God that's not a personable God, and he is a personable God. You know, through Christ, we have a personal Savior and Lord. But then when you talk about New Ageism, that's an impersonal force. Because it's like, and I know many people have said this, that we are gods. We ourselves are gods, and they take that scripture from, let me see, I think I know where it is, I'm not quite sure, and they take it out of context, you know, and it's disturbing, Psalm 82, let me see, no, it's not Psalms 82, we are like gods, and a lot of times you hear that a lot, and that's also a lure. Anything, I always question anything. It says, I said, you are God, you are all sons of God. So that's in Psalms 86, 82 and 6, sorry. The lore is when you've been hurt, when you've been rejected, when things have not always gone right, when you go to church or try to serve, this is out there waiting for you, everyone. This is out there waiting for you. If you're lured by money, if you're lured to try to please people, those are other things that usually if you're trying to please people, this religion or this way of life is also behind a lot of people's success, the law of attraction, manifestation, this and that. And, I mean, it can get so convoluted, and it feels that way. If you really are paying attention, discerning of spirits, you realize that some of this is very, very subtle, and some of it is just blatantly chaotic. It feels chaotic. It doesn't feel right. And then you're wondering, like, where did they get this from, and where did they get that from? And it generates all these questions, and these questions need to be answered. If you are a child of God and you believe in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, you got to figure out, where is Jesus in all this? I used to ask that with some people, not when it came to New Age, but when it came to them talking about their problems or something like that. I said, where is Jesus in this? Only to get them to see he's the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one that, you know, died for us. Healing is available to us through him. I mean, there's so many things about him being an integral part of our life. So presenting all these different theologies and perspectives and worldviews to me, I'm like, where did this come from? And where is Jesus in all this? Where is he? You know, where is he? And some people, depending on what they're teaching you, have learned to put Jesus in there some kind of way, just throw him in there like they're throwing him in a salad or something. But it's in person. And people talk a lot about the energy and the universe. I know almost everybody on here can say that is listening, that you have either you have heard somebody say this to your face or, you know, in person, or you've heard it on television or something talking about, oh, I just asked the universe, or I just hope the universe, because they don't want to say God, or they just believe, like I just said, that there is one God that has to do with, basically, we just tell him what to do and he does what we say. So they say the universe. I said, I'm like, what is that? And that's been so prevalent, I think, over the last 5 to 10 years, the universe. Oh, I just know the universe was watching out for me that day, because I'm like, what? Stop. So I think we need to get honest about and question things. I think it starts with questioning. And yet we have to be gentle with each other and understand that people that are deep into this, that have been delivered and come up out of this, are the best specialists. And what I mean by that is they understand what's New Age and what's laced with New Age and what's not. And whether or not you know somebody personally who shares their testimony, or you are reading a book by somebody who also was delivered from that and right now they're Christians, they will tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth. They will also tell you how they were drawn into New Ageism. And because this show is called Wounded No More, I truly believe a lot of times it is unforgiveness. It is rejection. It is bitterness. It is rebellion that draws people out, especially people that you would think know better. And what I say know better is because they have known Christ. They were saved. There were things that they did know and that they did believe in, but they're drawn into this because of hurt and because of pain. And when you have to deliver the word to somebody who is in New Ageism or is entertaining some of these concepts, sit down and have a really loving spirit and don't judge them. Don't mock them. Understand that many times these people are hurt. They still are a soul. And they're people that want to know. They want to know God. They want something real. And a lot of times this New Age it's selling, people are buying it, you know, because it feels right. It feels harmless. It feels real. I think a lot of times, I'll just give an example of being called based on the fivefold, you know, prophets is one of the things that, you know, I knew God was calling me to be. But when I tell you that at the time, it was nothing that I really wanted to be, because I felt like when I was out there in the world, getting into everything, dabbling into everything, even things that at the time they wasn't called New Age. You could maybe call it metaphysical, but it definitely wasn't a god. I knew that. And then, you know, coming back, repenting, and, you know, coming back, and because I was saved at a very, very young age, at seven years old. So, by, you know, that whole process, coming back, and then realizing that there were some things that I had dabbled in that I shouldn't have been dabbling in. And I didn't understand, like, how it fit, other than that it didn't. So, of course, I totally rejected it first and start doing what I knew, what the word says, and based on the teaching in the church I was going to. And everything, you know, was, yeah, there were some legalistic things that were going on. At the same time, I knew God was real, and I knew he talked to my heart. And so he was dealing with me about purpose. He was dealing with me about my identity. He was dealing with me about my assignment. And it took me a long time to separate all this stuff that I had dabbled into and be able to really follow Christ and hear Christ. And it took a lot of patience and teaching and asking questions and praying and reading and studying and knowing that, and repenting, I'm telling you, and really saying, Lord, I want my heart to be pure towards you and towards your people. I don't want all these other negative influences that have been a part of my life to influence what I'm doing for you. So I almost felt like he had to purge me of a lot of things. And so some of these things, when I am studying New Ageism, I say, oh, I believe in this, I believe in that. Oh, that does not fit into, you know, what God wants me to do and who I am. But these are the things I practice. And I remember one time I was doing a workshop, and God was dealing with me very strongly about the spirit of divination. And there's some examples in, I think, in the book of Acts, and Paul talking about the damsel that had that spirit of divination, but it's also some, I think, a couple of examples in the Old Testament as well. And I will give you a definition of divination. I think I might even teach that one day, but I don't know in what degree, because it's kind of a heavy subject. It's the practice of seeking knowledge of the future or the unknown by supernatural means. That's just a basic example of it, a basic definition of it. Some examples of it can be like reading tarot cards or people telling your fortune, you know what I mean? Kind of like what psychics do. So they're also very ancient methods of divination, like I just mentioned, tarot reading, tea reading, so on and so forth. So I was like, Lord, I'm not doing any of that. I'm not doing any of that. And he was like, you know, those are the manifestations of trying to seek answers, but without getting insight without going through the Lord and without the Holy Spirit giving you word of wisdom and word of knowledge as it pertains to prophecy. So when I'm talking about prophesying over people, you have to be careful of the spirit that you are operating in. And so, like I said, when I was out in the world, I still didn't do any of these tarot cards and all that stuff. I didn't get into that, but I would read my horoscope, and I was into metaphysics, which means, you know, I would read about law of attraction. Back then, they didn't even call it that. They called it something else. I mean, there were certain things that I would have dreams and try to interpret them in all kinds of weird ways. And I didn't understand what I was dabbling with, and I didn't understand the sensitivity of that. There was no context. So I was just all over the place. And whatever I felt is whatever I did. But I did have an understanding. Today you hear the kids, the younger generation, right, they talk about the third eye and people's third eye opening up. And I never understood what the kids meant until one of my children sat down and told me what that is. And that just basically, without them having the Holy Spirit, they can see. And I said, where do they think that knowledge comes from? You know? And some of my children did understand that was definitely demonic. I'm not going to even go there either, because I would need a panel for us to just talk about that. But divination is an example of one of those things that we see in church a lot, depending on where people are coming from. It's a practice trying to foretell the future. Like, who is telling you that those things? It's a familiar spirit, devil spirit. Discovering secrets of the future or understanding things that you, who is telling you that? You know? So, I mean, I'm just using my examples to kind of introduce you to New Age exposure. I think next week or the next time I teach, I will do a better job at unpacking this and focusing on it, because maybe next time I will be able to focus on some things that we see a lot in today's culture, not just with young people, but what are the things that have crept into the church that we question? This is not to indict or to condemn anybody. Anytime I do a show, that's not what the purpose is. It's to get us to thinking. It's to get us to seek out the word and what it says. It's to get us in places where we can start having dialogue with the Lord and with one another. It's really also, too, if you are a teacher or if you're somebody who has been wondering about this, good way to start saying, Lord, who around me is involved in this? And who am I to pray for? Who am I to witness to? At the end of the day, that person is a soul. So I think we need to be very, very careful of the things that when we have to enter. Some people work with people that are into the occult. They work with them every day. And sometimes there's opposing energy. And when I say that, it's like they're against you and you're against them. And at the end of the day, you don't even know why that person is into that. And unless God is leading you to witness to them, sometimes you just have to sometimes leave them alone. But don't judge them. It says at the end of the day, you don't want to win an argument. You want to win a soul. And a lot of times, that's just about showing love. Doesn't mean you accept them. There are a lot of times they're trying to fill a hole inside themselves. If you sit down and talk to somebody and you respect their beliefs, doesn't mean you agree with them. You just respect their position. You would learn a whole lot. So that's what today's show was about. Kind of short because I don't want to do too much talking on things that I haven't really dug into deeply. But this is one of those topics that I think we can begin to generate questions and say, Lord, what do I need to know? What is impacting my life on a daily basis as it pertains to New Age? What things have I not questioned? I'm just going along too long, but I've always wondered or I felt weird about this. Or what practices do I see maybe in my, you know, local church community that's off? And maybe they just aren't taught right or no. What scriptures can I go to teach this so that people can be free and not controlled?
Yes,
by
that's right.
And so that's where my heart is. When I think of Walking Wounded, which was my previous show, Now It's Wounded No More, you want to say, if you know that there's a propensity or a soul wound, these types of things are opening up and draw people into these types of religions and practices.
Right.
So that is one of the reasons why I said I need to talk about this. Because that's all I'm doing tonight, everyone, is really just talking. I'm not teaching. But I did think of that scripture in Galatians, which is Galatians 5, and saying a little leaven, leaven a whole lump. And that's what made me think of too much salt. Too much acceptance of certain things, not questioning anything, not dismantling certain beliefs. Where do they come from? Where does that come from? And really understanding how to separate truth from error. Bishop, would you like to add anything?
All I would like to say is this is a good topic to be taught because, you know, so many people, as said, so they turn to the occult, they turn to paganism, and they would tell me right now, I'm dealing with more one individual that was first, but because of the hypocrisy of the church, they walked away from the church. So,
yeah.
You know, my thing is, I don't, but the leaves, because it's not going to change what I believe. And that's the unadulterated word of God. You see what I'm saying? So when they come at me, you know, and saying to God, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, this is not to condemn or to shame, like our sister said. But see, the thing, the very thing she's talking about is you can't go in the church on Sunday knocking over the pews and talking about how you love Jesus and you trust Jesus and call Miss Cleo on Monday. Okay. Okay, that's just keeping it real. You know, but that's just where a lot of Christians are today. A lot of Christians, because they don't understand that we are in a war, okay? So they fall prey. You know, they fall prey to these things. Oh, I'm gonna worship Mother Earth, and I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna okay, well, you know, that's you.
Right.
But see, Mother Earth didn't hang on the cross for me.
Right.
See, I never get it, no matter, you know, I'm sorry, Mother, I didn't hear, you know, Jesus hung on the bed and died for me, not Goddess, not Mother Earth, not, you know. So but again, my thing is, it's the word of God that convicts and that heals. So how can how can we, educate, how can we empower, how can we impact others if we don't even have a conversation?
We have to start, and we have to want to understand. So there's a lot of things we don't agree with. I mean, we know are not in alignment with the word. But
that's right.
We have to say, but the Lord said, okay, so how is that helping you to reach souls and pray for them? And
exactly.
To have compassion for them. You have to understand
exactly where they're coming
from. Why they're drawn to this. Right. And so that's really why I wanted to start talking about this, because it's like it's one thing for them to be offering, like you were saying, if they are leaving Christianity because of hypocrisy, they're going to be drawn to a movement that is pandering and saying, oh, well, you can be healed, you can be peaceful,
you can be an individual, you can be yourself, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know.
We accept anything. There's no standard, or it's a loosey-goosey standard, and it makes you feel free. That's just the lore. That's the lore.
Yes. And many fall prey, because my sister, because of unbelief. It's just that simple. You know, it's like you said, instead of just trusting God and obeying God, they got to put the extra salt on. You know, they I'm going to trust God, but I'm still going to check them numbers. I'm going to trust God, but I still need a sign. Oh, I'm going to trust God, but I'm still, you know what I'm saying? I'm still going to call my psychic.
Yeah.
You know, God is sovereign, and he doesn't need any help from Miss Cleo, Dionne Warwick, or anybody else.
That's right. That's right. It's scripture that I always also was thinking about is about in Psalms 119, his word is fixed in the heavens. There's things that his word, just because people do certain things, it doesn't change the word of God. It doesn't change the things that were from the beginning. And, the more that I would study this, I still go back to people, Adam and Eve in the garden, knowing that they were not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so when I think of people turning to paganism or Hinduism or whatever, it feels like they're trying to get knowledge and get wisdom without, acknowledging.
Without the source.
Without
the source. That's right.
And
that's
they
right.
will tell, and now it's like, okay, so, you know, that's destructive. Okay, you can do that if you want to, but there's a price to pay for that. So it's very deceptive. And so, and because it seems like it's in some of everything, the more that I read and study about New Ageism, I'm like, okay, so I thought that was a good thing. I thought,
not necessarily.
No, it's not. You have to know what it is. And so
that's why the Word of God says, test that spirit. Test the spirit. Test the spirit. And what he means by that, what the Lord means by that is, does this line up with my word?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and see, God doesn't do versions of his word. His word is his word.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't say, worship me and the Son. He's a jealous God. He says, you will worship me and me alone. You should have no other gods before you. You know, so anytime somebody tells me, you know, they get to, well, you know, we worship the trees and we get our strength from the earth. Okay, well, I get my strength. That's wonderful for you if it's working for you. But let me remind you, Elohim is the creator of all things. And that comes, that is, that he's nothing new, baby. Jehovah God.
Right.
Elohim, creator God, created them trees that you worship in right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know. When they say, well, you know, I don't see nothing wrong with, you know, calling my psychic anyway. Well, you know, if you're brave enough to go up there and tell God that, be my guest. Because God said, I'm sovereign. I'm Sabaoth. Mm-hmm. I when I come with everything I need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just suggest, and I'm glad that you're having this conversation, Prophetess, because if people don't have it, if people don't say, you know, like you were saying at the beginning, they're afraid it's going to rub off on them. You know, if you talk about it, somehow it's going to rub off. That's what the devil wants. He wants our silence, because when we don't shine light on it, then we as Christians will continue to fall prey. We as leaders will not redirect, refocus, and renew people's mind with the word of God if we're not even going to talk about it. So I just want to say thank you to you tonight. If there's any questions from anybody else, you may press your one. I know this is it might be a new topic for a lot of people, but you just have to know and understand, if you don't stand for God, you'll fall for anything. So if you have a question or a comment, please press your one. I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. If you're in the chat room and you'd like to ask Prophetess a question, or you know, if we don't know, we'll figure it out together, what have you. But if you have a comment or question, you can type it now. Hallelujah. All right. Again, this is something that is not new. These are some of the things that Paul was speaking of when he was talking to the different churches, because, you know, even though the church was springing up in Corinth and different places, there were also a lot of pagan gods there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And false teachers there. And so, you know, this is just another form. New Age ism is just another form of false teaching. They want you to believe in something greater than yourself that is not our Heavenly Father. And I can't do it. Amen. Well, I see there are no ones pressed. So, Prophetess Vanessa, what I would like for you to start doing is, when you do a topic, would you please pray that the people would receive what you have said and that they would be on guard, and, you know, and start praying for them, because it's the word of God that changes, and it's prayer that changes. You have brought us some word. So now would you please pray for God's people, and we will close the program.
Sure, yes. I just thank you, Lord, today for you being sovereign, for you having the last say. I thank you for your love that it rains on the just as well as the unjust. It rains on those who acknowledge you, whether they acknowledge you or not. And I thank you for your peace and your love and your kindness, that this topic about New Ageism is not new. There's nothing new about some of these ancient beliefs that have infiltrated your people, even in the body of Christ. I thank you, Lord, for protection. I thank you, Lord, today for those who are raising up to want to expose some of these principles in the body of Christ, as well as those that are afflicting those who are innocent and just don't know any better. I thank you, Father God, today for strengthening them to be bold. I thank you, Lord, today that, you know, the book of Hosea says that people are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge, and they reject the knowledge of God. And so I think, Lord, there are those who are out there looking for prey.
the predatory spirits,
yes.
Father God, out there, then some of them are actually the wheat and the tare, they go together. So
yes.
There are tares that are predatory in the body of Christ. I thank you, Lord, you haven't given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound
yes.
mind, so that we can be able to study these things to understand when what it is, and that it will strengthen the discerning of spirits when we understand what it is and what the word says. And help us, Lord, to be bold and courageous as we confront
yes.
these things and talk about them and teach them and bring up people in the way that they should go, so that they're not confused and conflicted, that even if they're dealing with heart and soul wounds, that they will be drawn out of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Prophetess Vanessa Carver with Wounded No More. We pray that you have truly received some knowledge. You've gained wisdom, and so that you can walk in understanding, so that you might live a more abundant Christ and life in Christ right now. So on behalf of all of us, we pray that you continue to walk with Christ in all that you do, acknowledge Christ in all that you do. Have a beautiful and blessed weekend, and from our household to yours. It is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Good night.
Beautiful
Thank you.
Job.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thank
God
you.
Bless. Good night.
Bless.